ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 7 टेक्स्ट नंबर 17 दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज व्हाट प्रह्लाद लर्न इन द वूम तत्तु कालस्य दीर्घत्वा स्त्रीत्वान् मातु स्थिरो दधे ऋषिनानुग्रहितं मा नाधुना अजहत् स्मृतिः. अब नारद मुनिज इंस्ट्रक्शन ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद. बिकॉज ऑफ द लॉन्ग ड्यूरेशन ऑफ टाइम दैट हैज पास्ड एंड बिकॉज ऑफ बीइंग अ वुमन एंड देयरफॉर लेस इंटेलिजेंट माय मदर हैज फॉरगॉटन ऑल दोज इंस्ट्रक्शंस बट द ग्रेट सेज नारद ब्लेस्ड मी एंड देयरफॉर आई कुड नॉट फॉरगेट देम. पर्पोर्ट इन भगवद गीता लॉर्ड सेज माम ही पार्थ व्यपाश्रित एपिस्यु पाप योनयः स्त्रियो वैश्यस्तता शूद्रस तेपि यान्ति पराम गतिम. ओ सन ऑफ पृथा दोज हू टेक शेल्टर इन मी दो दे बी लो बॉर्न वेमेन वैश्यस मर्चेंट्स और शूद्रस कैन अप्रोच द सुप्रीम डेस्टिनेशन. द वर्ड पाप योनि रेफर्स टू दोज हू आर लेस देन शूद्रस. But even though woman may not be a papa yoni, because of being less intelligent, she sometimes forgets devotional instructions. For those who are strong enough, however, there is no question of forgetting. Women are generally attached to material enjoyment, and because of this tendency, they sometimes forget devotional instructions. But if even a woman practices devotional service strictly, according to the rules and regulation, the statement by the Lord Himself that she can return to Godhead, tepi anti param gatim, is not at all astonishing. One must take shelter of the Lord and rigidly follow the rules and regulations. Then regardless of what one is, one will return home back to Godhead. Prahlad Maharaj's mother was more concerned with protecting the child in the womb and was very anxious to see her husband return. Therefore, she could not consider very seriously the sublime instructions of Narada Muni. Om Hare Krishna. So last time we were discussing about situations, and here Prabhupada very brilliantly explains many points in this purport. He talks about the nature on a conditional stage, and he talks about the power of devotional service, that how the power of devotional service can uplift anybody. So therefore in the Shastra, when someone is identified as less intelligent, that doesn't mean that one does not have the chance. Unfortunately, most of the discussion in the mundane world goes on the conditional level only. Oh, this is wrong, this is not correct, this is right. But Shastra doesn't stick to the lower levels. Even if it talks about the lower levels, the destination is to look up to the higher realms. So therefore, like one time the same verse was there, and somebody asked this question to Radhanand Maharaj, that why Shastras say like that? Why there is a discrimination? Again, the point is that if somebody considered superior based upon somebody being less intelligent, that is also less intelligent. Somebody is living in the prison cell. No, either you live in an A cell or a B cell. Cell is a cell. That is a higher understanding. But then again, within that cell, one may have a greater facilities. Identifying the greater facility is not necessarily trying to judge people. Because both, either those who are in the cell A or cell B, if they reform themselves, both have the facilities to get out of that cell. So therefore, it is explained that the great souls, or those who are having a higher understanding, just like about Bharat Maharaj, it is explained that when he renounced the whole world, Sukadeva Goswami concludes this whole pastime of Bharat Maharaj becoming a deer, then he becoming Jad Bharat. And he concludes this pastime by saying that most people are like flies. But Jad Bharat was like an eagle. He was above. He couldn't look down. Therefore, unless we understand the proper perspective of this purport, one will not get the benefit of the purport. Purport is not talking about women being less intelligent, but purport is talking about how one can make transformation from this place to the spiritual world. So therefore, when this question was raised to Maharaj, that, you know, how can Shastra say like that? He says that when that kind of explanation is given, those who hear about it and those who are identified like that, they have a greater facility to take shelter of Krishna. Because ultimately, being here and making a discussion, equal, superior or less intelligent, is not going to take us away from this situation. Only that feeling, I am superior, will prevail and arrogance will be there. And someone who has been identified as less intelligent, logically one can prove. And after being proved that they are less intelligent, they were a depressed false ego. So there is both false egos. One is a false ego of thinking superior. Another is a false ego of thinking less. Like one senior ISKCON devotee was mentioning. When Arjuna said, I cannot fight. That means he was thinking he can fight. That is also arrogance and false ego. That I can fight. No, you are simply an instrument. So when you say I can fight, that is also false ego. And when you say you can't fight or I can't fight, that is also false ego. Because inherently there is a concept of I am the doer. But the whole Krishna conscious philosophy is to delete this virus from the hardware that I am the doer. So when Shastra makes this discrimination, now just see in the verse, there is no such word has been used by Prahlad Maharaj as women being less intelligent. He says Tritwan. He says being a woman. And Prabhupada gives the purport to that. Being a woman, therefore less intelligent. Can you accuse Srila Prabhupada being a male chauvinist? No, again, to enhance something, you know, to enhance the power of devotional service, if you present how somebody who is not so good, not so qualified, even he can attain perfection, that is the main point. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu also Prabhupada very bluntly makes this statement about anyone who has a legal implication, that means it has a bad karma. Anyone has a bad, ugly body, that means a bad karma. Anyone who has a chronic disease, that means a bad karma. And then, what is the fourth one? The fourth one means one who is born in a very low class family, that means bad karma. Basically what he is saying, that one who has a material body has a bad karma. So therefore, when we are identified like this, as much it is better in devotional service, to practice devotional service, it is better to know that we are fallen and we are less intelligent and we have no qualification. Because Bhakti Yoga requires that. When your heart is filled with such kind of emotions, when our heart is filled with such kind of understanding, then it is easier to look for shelter. In the mundane world, people don't want shelter. People want to give shelter to others, even though they don't have shelter for themselves. But in Krishna consciousness, in the Vedic philosophy, that you are prude. We are all prude that you have no shelter. You are a dependent factor. Just like again in the scripture we read, Nachastri Satvantram, that at no condition women should be given independent. It may seem to be very abusive. But similarly, anyone who practices civilized life, he has no independence. Not independence is not the sign of, no independence is not the sign of bondage. No independence is the sign of protection. Just like for a cultured, civilized Aryan, he is bound by many rules and regulations. A Brahmana or a Sannyasi for that matter, their life is so restricted, they can't do this, they can't do that, you can't eat here, you can't, you know, perform this activity here. Their life is so bound. Why that bondage? Not to restrict their activity, but to regulate their activities and at the same time make progress in spirituality. So therefore the whole perspective has to be changed if you want to understand, or if we have to understand the scriptural knowledge. We were discussing in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu class in the hospital, like when Draupadi was disrobed by Dushyasana and his party on the order of his older brother. You know, one should follow the instruction of older brother. And Dushyasana was very submissive, following the order of his brother. And they were disrobing Draupadi. And then again here, the custom was followed. Particularly, Duryodhana was a king, and one has to obey the orders of the king. So therefore, all these personalities who were there in that sabha, which Kunti calls Asat Sabhaya. That was not a sabha. Asat Sabha means what? The assembly of the ruffians, the assembly of the Durjanas. And whoever was there in that assembly, according to Kunti, Asat Sabha, Bhishma was involved, Dronacharya was involved, Krupacharya was involved. Why? Because nobody could stop. Bhishma himself says that. Because I was contaminated by the eating outside food of Duryodhana. So therefore I could not. He says that in the Mahabharata, Draupadi, when she asked that, why you couldn't speak to me when I asked one question, now you are able to answer for thousands of questions of my husband. He said, what can I do? Because I had eaten a contaminated food. Bhishma says that. He couldn't stop. Now according to the Vaishnava principle, if we see in the fourth canto, when Sati was not directly offended, her husband was indirectly offended by Daksha. Not directly, indirectly offended. He did not physically insult Lord Shiva, but verbally insulted. And seeing that insult, Daksha's wife, Sati, Daksha's daughter, she decided, this is not a befitting body, being a daughter of Daksha, to maintain it, so better give it up. By creating a fire within, she quit her body and gave up all connection to her father. That's a proper course of action according to Srila Prabhupada. That one cannot tolerate Vaishnava Prabhupada. One has to take some kind of action. So she took such a heavy action. Of course, she didn't commit suicide. One should understand that unless you can create fire within your own body, one should not take this kind of action. Oh, I heard Vaishnava Prabhupada. Thoda rakel dal do aur bala jala do apne ko. No, she created a fire. If you can do it, that means you are so much burning by that offense that naturally that burning within creates that fire and finishes you from this world. It is not artificial, it is not mechanical. It is so internal. And Prabhupada gives the purport. Now when Draupadi was being offended, everybody was involved. Unfortunately, from that very story's point of view, don't see from their constitutional nature's point of view, Pandavas are pure devotees, they are playing a part in Krishna's Leela. But just see from that situational point of view, that they were also party for this offense. They were also party for this offense. And therefore Krishna, when he protected Draupadi, you know, it is explained, that was the turning point. That was the turning point for the Kaurava's destruction. There the Lord took a vow that they grabbed her hair, holding her when she was Rajaswala. She was in her period wearing only one cloth, and they dragged her in the public. In that culture, such a woman is not supposed to be brought into the public, even from a, you know, nicely, what to speak of by forcibly, and she was forced like that. So seeing that Krishna took a vow that every woman in a Kurul family has to face these consequences. So from Krishna's point of view, for that offense, it is not a big deal that entire Kuru race is destroyed. Like somebody said, a low class person, you know, why make such a big fuss about, you know, bringing her down? That was a joke. It's not that Draupadi was going to rape her. It was simply because she joked at him when he fell down. So he was creating a joke. Why make such a big fuss? Why such battle was fought against the Kaurus? When women also said, you know, I don't mind that aggression. That kind of aggression I don't mind. Just see, that shows the lowliness. Not loveliness, that shows the lowliness. Low nature, low culture. Therefore, if you want to study Vedic culture, Vedic Shastras, one has to have proper background. Or at least one has to understand the proper background. If anybody studied the Vedic literatures based upon his upbringing, it is guaranteed that he'll feel offended. It is guaranteed that he'll feel offended. Vedic scripture, as Prabhupada explains in one of the purport, that Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to whom? He spoke to Arjuna, coming from a royal dynasty, high cultured person. So therefore, whole Mahabharata battle took place between the refined people and the roughened people. And if you don't see from that point of view and see from your level's point of view, it is guaranteed the mistake will be done. So therefore, when Srila Prabhupada presents his purports, he assumes, it is expected that you have to see it from not our point of view, but from the Shastra's point of view. When we see it from the Shastra's point of view, we get benefit. But if we see it from our point of view, that same Shastra hurts us very badly. We feel offended. And then not only we feel offended, we commit further offense against the Shastra. The whole tendency to drag scriptures to our level is a great offense. You have to allow the scriptures to stay in their own level, and you try to elevate your consciousness, your level, become cultured and refined. Unless we become refined and culture, unless we become refined and culture, then we don't understand the concept. We don't understand the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, one of the speciality of Shastras, what do? They identify conditionally. They identify our doubtling propensity. They identify our constitutional nature. And then with that conditional shortcomings, our propensities, and they also say how to apply our propensities in Krishna service and ultimately attain perfection. So while doing that, if the Shastras identify somebody as less intelligent, and if we feel offended about that, that is nothing but grossest kind of less intelligence. Because they are not stopping there. The Shastras don't stop there. They continue. They don't stop. You are less intelligent. Over. The Smarthas, they did it in India. They simply focused on somebody's fallen condition and they didn't go further. Just like if you are going to Delhi and if your train stops at Rajasthan where the Gujjars are performing strike, that is inconvenience. You know, you are hoping to be reaching Delhi, you know, going to Vrindavan, having a nice time, eating nice Krishna Prasad. But if your train stops in Rajasthan where there is no water and no food, it is guaranteed that you are inconvenienced. So similarly, when somebody is told his journey is not given completely, his journey is stopped in the middle by identifying you are less intelligent. But then what? you know, that causes inconvenience. The Shastras never do like that. The Vaishnava Shastras never do it. They identify, like when Prabhupada went to Africa, he called that place as Kirata Shuddhi. Now what is Kirata? Kirata means Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulukasa Abhira Shumba Yavana Khashadaya. That all these communities, according to Bhagavat, they don't even fall into the category of Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra. They're aborigines. And calling them Kirata in their country. But why? Not only identifying what they are, but even what you are materially, what is the process of Krishna consciousness? It is the process of purifying. Kirata Shuddhi. That you become purified if you accept the process of Krishna consciousness. Don't get stuck there. Oh, I am Kirata. How can you call me Kirata? No, you are not Kirata. You can be Kirata Shuddhi by practicing devotional service. So therefore, that is the power of the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam doesn't hide the facts. Shastras don't hide the fact. Because if the facts are hidden, and if you are given nice feeling, like in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains, in one of the purports, in the first canto, where Draupadi, when the Ashwatthama was brought by Arjuna, he brought him back because Ashwatthama had killed 5 sons of Draupadi. And Arjuna pacified her. How did he pacify? Being a Kshatriya woman, you couldn't pacify her by simply, you know, words. He pacified by saying that you don't worry, I'll bring back this heinous son of a Brahmana. I'll capture him and I will kill him and you can bathe on the dead body of Ashwatthama. That's the real word spoken by a Kshatriya. And then he went away. He went to capture Ashwatthama with the help of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Who is that? Devi Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So when Ashwatthama was, who is that? Can I have? I think we'll start Kirtan.